Welcome to Call to Freedom with Barbara Carmack. This is Jimmy Lakey, and I'm delighted that you are joining us for this half hour. You can reach Call to Freedom at Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237, or by going to the website at www.freedomstreet.org. If you want to leave a message or order a Word-powered daily reading Bible guide or a Freedom Street Express newsletter, you can call us toll-free at 1-877-917-7256 and leave your name and address, including your zip code. If you want to talk to Barbara right now, she is expecting your call. You may call that same toll-free number, 1-877-917-7256, to speak to her. And now, let's join Barbara in the studio.
Welcome to Call to Freedom. God bless you with courage to do the extraordinary, for He created you with that in mind. I think about yesterday I had to go looking for the driver's license place. And I think about courage. I mean, these places, they're so hard to find in the Denver area. And there's just one place in the Denver area for Denver. And I was thinking of this little phrase, God bless you with courage to do the extraordinary. And, you know, they now do a 5 years, 5 years out, that you have to get your driver's license renewed. And so by that time, other places are closed up and other places are established. And I'm so grateful for the Lord and for Matt. He found a place where I could go and I got it done within 45 minutes. Thank goodness. Hallelujah. So God bless you with courage to do the extraordinary, even renewing your driver's license. For He created you with that in mind. Isn't that wonderful? He created you with that in mind. Just before this show on Wednesday, the 1 o'clock show where I'm sitting in the studio, the Church of Christ was singing a cappella, My Faith Looks Up to Thee, Thou Lamb of Calvary. And the memories that came back, because when I was a little girl, every Sunday afternoon after church, we had lunch, probably brown bag most of the time. And at 1 o'clock, we went downtown Greeley, where Mom and the pastor and his wife did a radio program every Sunday afternoon. And I was a little girl, and I would just sit there, bored. Oh, and I remember, My Faith Looks Up to Thee, O Lamb of Calvary. And it's a beautiful old song. And when they were singing it a cappella, I thought, oh, what precious memories. It wasn't for, you know, a little 5 and 6 year old, but oh, now that I think of it and think of my heritage, and Mom sang and played the piano. And I am so grateful for a Christian family that I was raised in. Many of you weren't raised in a Christian family. And so I bless you to, you know, be the kind of believer that you need to be to bring that part of your family into the kingdom of God in Jesus' name. You are blessed to dispense, for in Him you live and move and have your being. It's what you sow that multiplies, not what you keep in the barn. I got this story from John. Thank you, John, for emailing me this story. And many of you have heard this story before. It's kind of old. I heard it years ago, but this is so good. It's worth talking about again. So I'm going to read this. Alice Grayson was to bake a cake for the Baptist Church ladies group in Tuscaloosa, but forgot to do it until the last minute. She remembered it in the morning of the bake sale, and after rummaging through cabinets, found an Angel food cake mix and quickly made it while drying her hair, dressing, and helping her son pack for scout camp. I would have made brownies. When she took the cake from the oven, the center had dropped flat. Yep, the cake was horribly disfigured, and she exclaimed, oh dear, there's not time to bake another cake. So being inventive, she looked around the house for something to build up the center of the cake. She found it in the bathroom, a roll of toilet paper. She plunked it in and then covered it with icing. Not only did the finished product look beautiful, it looked perfect. And before she left the house to drop the cake by the church and head for work, Alice woke her daughter. Okay, you got to listen to this. Alice woke her daughter and gave her some money and specific instructions to be at the bake sale the moment it opened at 9:30 and buy the cake that she had made. and bring it home. So when the daughter arrived at the sale, she found the attractive, perfect cake had already been sold. Amanda grabbed her cell phone and called her mom. Alice was horrified. She was beside herself. Everyone would know. What would they think? She would be ostracized, talked about, ridiculed. Can you imagine? The sweat just rolling down your back. All night, Alice lay awake in bed, thinking about people pointing fingers at her and talking about her behind her back. The next day, Alice promised herself she would try not to think about the cake. Have you ever tried to not think about something that was on your mind? And would attend the fancy luncheon bridal shower at the home of a fellow church member and try to have a good time. She did not want to attend because the hostess was a snob who more than once had looked down her nose at the fact that Alice was a single parent and not from the founding families of Tuscaloosa, but having already RSVP'd, she couldn't think of an excuse to stay home. The meal was elegant. The company was definitely upper crust Old South. And to Alice's horror, the cake in question was presented for dessert. It just gets better. Alice felt the blood drain from her body when she saw the cake. She started out of her chair to tell the hostess all about it. But before she could get to her feet, the mayor's wife said, "What a beautiful cake." Alice, still stunned, sat back in her chair when she heard the hostess, who was a prominent church member, say, "Thank you. I baked it myself." Alice smiled and thought to herself, "Oh, God is good." Oh, my goodness. Well, I don't know if this is a true story or not, but and I don't know if the Lord had anything to do with the outcome of this story. But I believe that it is selfish ambition that gets us into trouble so many times. And we've got to have things just perfect in order to show people what a good baker we are, or good cook we are, or whatever. And that's the moral of this story. Don't be selfishly ambitious and be honest. That's the best reward of all. Thank you so much, John, for reminding me of this wonderful humorous story. From Wednesday prayer requests and praise reports, I got this praise report from David in Kansas. He lives in this precious little town in Kansas. Darren and I went through it one day and we said, "Hi, David. Thank you, Barb, for the March newsletter, page one." And if you have a March newsletter, you can read it. It's kind of about some of the things that have happened in my life. "It picked me up quickly, feeling beat up lately." So he had been feeling beat up lately, and all of us have experienced that in one way or another. And he says, "God bless you. Thank you so much, Dave, for that picker-upper. Your note was a picker-upper for me. Hi, Barbara. I have a praise report. My husband is listening more to the word. He is a Christian, but was discouraged due to being sick and overweight. He is now on a diet and listening to the word and me sharing with him." Oh, good for you. "We have both been sick, but I have been reading and memorizing scriptures daily, and it's been such a blessing. I have learned and understand more, and I love my Savior, your sister in Christ, Arlene." You know, you have my, Darren's sister is named Arlene also. God bless you. Father God, in Jesus' name, as Arlene is memorizing and standing on scripture, I ask, Holy Spirit, that you cleanse her mortal body, build it up and energize it, because she is alive in you. And I praise you for that wonderful healing, the manifestation of the healing that you paid for on the cross. In your precious, powerful name, amen. God bless you, sister. And the last part of Billy Graham here, "With all my heart, I want to leave you with this truth." And this is Billy speaking. "We have been going down the wrong road for a long time," Graham said. "Seemingly, man has learned to live without God, preoccupied and indifferent toward him, and concerned only about material security and pleasure. And yet mankind is also adrift morally and spiritually, confused and fearful because he does not know where he is or where he is going. He lives in a world dangerously torn by hate and violence and conflict, and yet he feels powerless to do anything about them. He also knows his own heart is driven by destructive passions and motives he cannot seem to control or change. I wonder what Ruth would think if she saw the self-indulgence that is so evident in this age in America. People need to repent of their sins, turn to God, and take the narrow road that Jesus talks about in the Bible. I read that just yesterday from Matthew 7. The narrow road means that you forsake sin and you obey God, desiring to please God in everything. The narrow road is hard and it is difficult. You can't do it by yourself. No, you can't. God bless you, Billy. You need God's help, and that's the reason we ask people to come to receive Christ, because when you receive Him, Holy Spirit comes to live within you to help you live the life. There can be changed hearts and a changed society as we yield ourselves to Christ. And you know, this morning before I went out to look for the driver's license center, I asked God to surround me with favor and go ahead of me to find this place that I had never been before. And that's what you do. If you go into a situation where it's, you know, an extraordinary situation or even an emergency, you're called, you know, by someone who says, come to my house, and you've never been there. You can pray in the Spirit and ask God to guide you and lead you and to say the perfect thing for those people. I believe, we need to do that more and more. Have Him on our lips all the time. All the time. And thank you for praying for protection for President Trump. Man, he's got a lot on his plate right now. He truly does. So washing your hands, let justice roll down like water and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. I know I don't mention it as much anymore, but you need to be washing those hands and washing them and pushing back the mockery and blasphemy and anger and malice and murder and shadow government. I'll tell you, Mr. Obama did a lot of insidious things before he left. And God is going to undo them. I'll tell you, one of these days, they're going to be revealed. That which is hidden in the dark shall be revealed into the light. So pray against that shadow government and deep state government and organizing for action, those community action groups that are being organized by the Obamas. They're still behind it. So thank you, Lord, for blessing President Trump and Vice President Pence and all who are in the administration today. John 1:16, from His abundance, we have all received one gracious blessing after another. Hallelujah. And the Amplified Bible says one spiritual blessing upon spiritual blessing, and even favor upon favor, and gift heaped upon gift. Don't you love that? Read that in the Amplified in John 1:16. And if you don't have an Amplified Bible, I encourage you to get one. Go to your bookstore, your Bible bookstore, or find some place that has an Amplified Bible. You will appreciate it. You will really enjoy its reading. And from the Book of Mysteries by Jonathan Kahn, this is Day 90, the Land of Gezerah. Gezerah, G-E-Z-A-R-A-H, the Land of Gezerah. Ooh, what is that? We were sitting on the ridge of a mountain we had often visited and gazing out into the distance. The teacher was holding a parchment. This is the command concerning the scapegoat, how it was to be led out into the wilderness. And he began reading it. Remember, one was sacrificed, another one was led out into the wilderness that carried the sins of the people. He shall send away the goat by the hand of a man who stands in readiness into the wilderness, and the goat will bear upon himself all the iniquities to the land not inhabited. So where did the goat go? Asked the teacher. Into the wilderness, I replied, to a land not inhabited. It's this, he said, as he pointed to one of the words on the parchment. It's the word Gezerah. Gezerah. The scapegoat had to be led to the land of Gezerah. What's the land of Gezerah? Gezerah comes from the root word Gezar. Gezar means cut off, excluded, or destroyed. So the land of Gezerah means a place that is cut off, excluded, uninhabited, a place where no one can dwell. I want you to listen to this. This is day 90, a place where you can't dwell. You don't need to go back there again. No one except the scapegoat. Yes, he replied. And when Isaiah prophesied of Messiah's death, he used the same word. He said, the Messiah was cut off out of the land of the living for the transgression of my people to whom the stroke was due. Now the stroke was due to the people. The beating was due to the people, but Jesus took it on his back. The words cut off are a translation of Gezar, as in the land of Gezerah. So then in some way, the Messiah goes to a land cut off, excluded, destroyed, uninhabited, and where no one can dwell. I answered, as the scapegoat carries the sins of the people to the land of Gezerah, so then Messiah carries our sins to the land of Gezerah. And what does that mean, asked the teacher, that he carried your sins to the land of Gezerah? It means my sins are cut off and no one can go where they are. Yes, said the teacher, they are where no one can dwell. No one can visit them, not even you. So you can never go there to visit them or dwell with them. Remember that. Some of you are going back to your sins all the time. Well, you know, did he forgive me of that? Is he going to remember that when I get to heaven? Oh, listen to this. No one can visit them, not even you. You can never go there to visit them or to dwell with them. Don't make them your familiar spirits, friend. They're gone, taken away, excluded, and cut off forever in the land of Gezerah. Did you hear that? You are not to dwell in your sins, in your past, in those things that you've committed. When you have confessed your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive you. And if you've confessed your sins, he has cleansed you from all unrighteousness. Don't go back there. The mission on day 90 is say goodbye to your sins, to your guilt, to your past, and to all that has been removed. Let it go and cut it off forever in the land of Gezerah. That's the land where no one lives. It's uninhabited. Oh, praise God for his redeeming, wonderful blood. Leviticus 16:21-22 says, then Aaron shall lay both of his hands on the head of the live goat and confess over it all the iniquities of the sons of Israel. Boy, I'll bet that took a little while. And all their transgressions in regard to all their sins. And he lay them on the head of the goat, and he'll send it away into the wilderness by the hand of a man who stands in readiness. Oh, I'll bet that man cleansed himself when he got back. And the goat shall bear on itself all their iniquities to a solitary land, Gezerah. And he shall release the goat in the wilderness. I remember a story about how Moses had gone back to see the sacrifice of one of the goats, and it had been burned up. And oh, he got so angry because the goat had been burned up and nothing was left of it. Oh, aren't you glad you don't have to live according to the law anymore? I mean, I would be doing so many things wrong, and I am so grateful. The blood of Jesus cleanses you today from all unrighteousness, friend. Remember that, 1 John 1:9. Psalm 103, verse 12 says, as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed your transgressions, the sins that you've committed from you. He's removed them from you. Oh, you can walk in redeeming love, in clear conscience, with a clear heart and a pure heart. Isaiah 44:22, I have wiped out your transgressions like a thick cloud and your sins like a heavy mist. Return to me, for I have redeemed you. And I just have one more before our song. Isaiah 53:8-12. Unjustly condemned, he was led away. No one cared that he died without descendants, that his life was cut short midstream. But he was struck down for the rebellion of my people. He had done no wrong and had never deceived anyone, but he was buried like a criminal. He was put in a rich man's grave, but it was the Lord's good plan. It was God's pleasure to crush him. Remember that. That's verse 10 of Isaiah 53. And cause him grief, yet when his life is made an offering for sin, he will have many descendants. That's many of us followed in asking him to forgive our sins. He will enjoy a long life, and the Lord's good plan will prosper in his hands. When he sees all that is accomplished by his anguish, he will be satisfied. See, Jesus said, it is finished. And when he rose again, I'm sure he said, oh, wow, that's all done. It's finished. And he was satisfied. And because of his experience, my righteous servant will make it possible for many to be counted righteous, for he will bear all their sins. Jesus bore all our sins, friends. I will give him the honors of a victorious soldier because he exposed himself to death. He was counted among the rebels. He bore the sins of many and interceded for rebels. John and I are going to sing The King and the Beggar.
Beggar on a lonely road one day, a strange occurrence took place, as you will see. The beggar fell upon his knees and cried, "Oh, pardon me, I am unworthy in thy presence to be." The king looked at the beggar and he said, "You've been set free. Your sins are all forgiven, and now you're born in royalty." And so the king and the beggar walked off arm in arm. You see, that king was Jesus, the King of Kings. And that beggar was me. He who was rich became so poor that a beggar rich might be. The Son of God became the Son of Man. That we poor fallen sons of men, the sons of God might be. I can't explain it, God's wondrous saving plan. Then the king looked at the beggar and he said, "You've been set free. Your sins are all forgiven, and now you're born in royalty." And so the king and the beggar walked off arm in arm. You see, that king was Jesus, the King of Kings, and that beggar was me. That king was Jesus, the King of Kings, and that beggar was me.
King is Jesus. And even though that beggar was you, you are now seated at the right hand of God the Father with Jesus. You are seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Read Ephesians 2. It'll bless your heart. Well, read Ephesians 1, 2. 1 and 2. Oh, praise the Lord. I'm going to read from Micah 7. 7 through 12. Micah was a precious man. We don't hear a lot about him, but everyone seemed to come against him. And this is a passage of scripture talking about God's unchanging and divine love. "But as for me, I will watch expectantly for the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me." God hears and answers your prayers. "Do not rejoice over me, O my enemy. Though I fall, I will rise. Though I dwell in darkness, the Lord is a light for me." Sometimes you're going to feel like you're so discouraged and you're in the dark. God is going to bring his light upon you and guide you right out of the storm. "I will bear the indignation of the Lord because I have sinned against him until he pleads my case and executes justice for me." That's what Jesus is for you. He's seated at the right hand of God the Father. He's your lawyer and he's pleading your case before the Father. I love it. I love it. "He will bring me out to the light and I will see his righteousness. Then my enemy will see and shame will cover the enemy who said to me, 'Where is the Lord your God?' My eyes will look on him. At that time, he will be trampled down like mire of the streets." That's what their enemy is. He's going to be under your feet. Thus says the Lord, as in the days when you came out from the land of Egypt, I will show you miracles. Nations will see and be ashamed of all their might. They will put their hand on their mouth. Their ears will be deaf. They will lick the dust like a serpent, like reptiles of the earth. They will come trembling out of their fortresses. To the Lord our God, they will come in dread and they will be afraid before you. I'll tell you, there's going to come a day when they are going to come crawling like reptiles on the earth. They will come trembling out of their fortresses, out of the powerful things that they have manufactured and made that they felt were going to be stronger than God. But God will prove himself powerful and righteous before the world. Who is a God like you, who pardons iniquity and passes over the rebellious acts of the remnant of his possession? See, he pardons our iniquities, friends. He passes over the acts, our rebellious acts. He does not retain his anger forever because he delights in unchanging love. His love towards you is unchanging. We can't even conceive of that because we have these finite minds. And if someone does us wrong, then we're going to do it to them. No, God does not retain his anger because he delights in you. He will again have compassion on you. He will tread your iniquities underfoot. God will cast all our sins into the depths of the sea. He will give truth to Jacob and unchanging love to Abraham, which you swore to our forefathers from the days of old. That's the God you serve. That's the God who forgives sin and iniquities. In his unchanging love, he takes you by the hand. He has you on the palm, inscribed on the palm of his hand, as I read from Isaiah 49. Oh, friend, you have a wonderful God and a wonderful Savior. Rejoice in them today. I love you and take joy, and I'll see you tomorrow.
Thank you for listening to Call to Freedom with Barbara Carmack. You may get in touch with Barbara at Call to Freedom, Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237. Or you may leave your message at 1-877-917-7256. Call to Freedom is a listener-supported radio ministry. Barbara and her power partners invite you to come on board with us and become a network of hands holding up Call to Freedom ministry. Power partners support Call to Freedom with prayer and monthly financial support. You will be blessed supernaturally. We invite you to visit Call to Freedom's website, www.freedomstreet.org, where you can hear Barbara's daily radio broadcast 24 hours a day or order materials. You may share your praise reports and heart cries by mailing them to Call to Freedom, Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237, or you may email us at barbaracarmack@freedomstreet.org. Until next time, remember, Jesus loves you, Barbara loves you, and take joy.